You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy game day, everybody. Oh, and happy Thanksgiving, too. Welcome back to Locked On Rockets, your home for daily and post-game podcast commentary on your Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. As we chat on this Wednesday, it's Draft Wednesday here at Locked On Rockets and across the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, download the Draft app or go to draft.com and use the promo code LORockets, and you can get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. So as we're getting ready for this Rockets game tonight, first time in 4 days the Rockets are playing, 7 p.m. tonight at Toyota Center, Rockets Nuggets, a surprisingly good Denver team that to this point in the year, 10-7, plus 2.6 point differential. It's certainly a game that while the Rockets are favored, you absolutely could lose it. This is a quality team. And we'll talk more about that game, of course, after. We'll see what we learn. But what we did yesterday's show with Craig Ackerman, we kind of sized up where the Rockets are after these first 4 weeks because, yeah, there's been a lot of off days, so it's a good point to kind of take a step back, see where this team is. Yesterday, we looked at it from an individual standpoint, what we learned about James Harden, certainly his MVP campaign, also Chris Paul, Clint Capella, some of the mainstays. Today's show, what I want to do is look at what we've learned from a team perspective, because it hasn't just been quiet for the Rockets, it was quiet for the NBA as a whole last night, the Bulls-Lakers, the only game on the docket. So before we get back into game mode, because, yeah, the Rockets are about to have a lot of games, finally, in a short period of time, I think it's a good time to pause, reflect where the Rockets are. Now, certainly, big picture, they're in a good spot, 13-4, tied for the number one spot with the Warriors, but really, they are the number one, because they have the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Warriors at the moment. But big picture, where I see this season going, there's essentially three things for Rockets fans to consider outside of winning your own games. That's certainly the most important, and we've talked about that, and we'll talk about that for most of our episodes here at Locked On Rockets. What I want to do today is focus on basically the three things, context in the Western Conference, that when you're not watching a Rockets game, such as, say, Warriors-Thunder tonight, if you tune in for that, any of it, I know it's the same time as Rockets-Thunder, but if you're somewhere for Thanksgiving and you don't have access to AT&T Southwest, then, yeah, if you're watching Warriors-Thunder, because it's the national game, maybe this podcast will clue you in a little bit about potential rooting interest. But as far as I see for the Rockets, there are three things to watch. The race for the one seed, the race for the two seed, and who you want to play. And certainly there's always the caveat of if there are injuries, that can change everything. All it takes is one slip and fall for James Harden, Chris Paul, Clint Capella, and all of a sudden it can completely throw off the dynamic of a season. So all of this is assuming health. It can certainly change on a dime. But based on what we know now for the Rockets to go after their goals, here's how I see it. And I'm going to start with the race for the one seed, because right now, as crazy as it sounds, that's where the Rockets are. And it's not a insignificant sample, because at 17 games of 82, the Rockets are already over 20% actually of the way into the season, and they're the number one in the Western Conference. It's unlikely, but it's not impossible. And of course, in terms of rooting interest, it's pretty simple. If you want the number one seed, besides wanting the Rockets to win, you want the Warriors to lose. Because especially when you look at the differential, it's not just the record. There's nothing unsustainable about it. The Rockets are plus 8.6. The Warriors are plus 10.4. These are far and away the best differentials in the Western Conference, actually the best in the NBA. So other than the Warriors, there's not really a threat to worry about. So if you're looking at the number one, you're wanting the Warriors to lose as many games as they can. It's unlikely because even as good as the Rockets have played to this point, the Warriors are probably the most talented team in NBA history. Also, they have an easier schedule moving forward than the Rockets do. They've had a tougher slate to this point. So certainly the Warriors are still the odds-on favorite, but I don't think it's 100%. I do think there's a realistic chance, and I'm not saying like 1%, I think somewhere, 15-20%, that the Rockets actually could pull this off. There are a few dynamics as to why. First off, the tiebreaker. The Rockets winning at Oakland, that is not insignificant, because the Rockets and Warriors only play three times this year. That's actually, well, we thought a lucky draw for the Rockets, probably still is, that one of the only Western Conference teams to play three times rather than four is the Warriors. But it's not just a matter they play the Warriors three times. It's that two of the three are in Houston. The next two matchups, Rockets-Warriors, are both in January. All the Rockets have to do is win one of those two games. Just split the two, and they have the tiebreaker, meaning if the two teams end up tied, the one seed and home court throughout the playoffs would go to the Rockets, courtesy of having that head-to-head tiebreaker. And certainly that's a big deal because, yeah, you can mount an argument that even the second-seeded Warriors might still be the favorites, but at the end of the day, if you can get Game 7 in your gym, yeah, that's a huge perk if you're trying to take down a team as great as Golden State. But as far as getting to that one seed, having the tiebreaker, which I would say the Rockets are actually favorites for to have the tiebreaker now, that's big because, yeah, if it's close, you want and the losses for both teams are going to be very small, then yeah, if you end up with the same number of losses, then yes, that tiebreaker is big, and all the Rockets have to do is win one of two games at home to get that tiebreaker. That gives them a chance. The other thing, even though the Warriors have an easier schedule, the Rockets have a harder one, you could also point out that whatever disadvantage there is to the Rockets getting a harder slate is going to be offset and then some by the return of Chris Paul. In other words, even though the Rockets have played an easier schedule to this point to get to 13-4, they've done it without Chris Paul. So even if you get a tougher slate of teams moving forward, maybe that's offset by, say, the jump in efficiency. Maybe the Rockets are closer to a plus 10 team in terms of differential rather than a plus 8 if you have Chris Paul, who, from all we know, should still be a top 10 player in the league when he's healthy and when he's playing regular starters minutes. So even though there's the strength of schedule would seem to benefit the Warriors in this comparison, the return of Chris Paul may offset that. The final point that I would make as far as Rockets, Warriors, and what I think may give the Rockets an opening, there's one downside to being as great as the Warriors are, and it's that every single team treats you like it's Game 7. I believe it was Matt Moore of CBS Sports that said that the other day, but you look at that game, and to the Warriors' credit, they rallied from a 20-plus point deficit and still won that game at Philadelphia when they were down, I think, 74-52 at the half. But when the Warriors come to town, it is that team's Super Bowl. And over the course of an 82-game grind in which the Warriors are just basically trying to get healthy for the playoffs, that can lead you to some losses that you might not otherwise suffer. Now, again, I'm not saying the Rockets are disrespected, because certainly I think the Rockets are regarded around the league as a really good team, but it's not the same. If the Rockets come into a, you know, lethargic gym on a Tuesday night, you're not going to have fans that are just losing their minds because of the opportunity to beat the Rockets. They're respected, but there's just not that wow factor that comes from, well, of course, the Warriors, just the abundance of star talents, and then, of course, having, well, in the past 3 years, two rings, and the 1 year they didn't win a ring, they still won the Western Conference, and they won 73 games, the most in the history of the league. So I think when you go in being everybody's Super Bowl, then that potentially might get you a few schedule losses that, say, the Rockets are not necessarily going to suffer. And again, I don't think that's a disrespect to the Rockets. I think they're generally regarded around the league as a very good team, and everyone respects them. It's just a matter of the Rockets, as good as they are, they don't have the pedigree at this point in time that the Warriors do. Maybe that changes after this season. We'll see. But for now, that's the dynamic that I think over the course of the regular season might give the Warriors a few more losses than you might otherwise, by their point differential, suspect. And they're still going to be really good. It's not going to be enough to knock the Warriors below 65, you know, worst case, low 60s in wins, I don't think. But if the Rockets continue to be healthy, if they are as good as the almost 770 winning percentage they have right now at 13-4, that's the path. Again, I don't think it's likely. If I had to bet, I'd still bet on the Warriors being the one seed because they're the most talented team I have ever seen in all my years watching the NBA. But what I'm saying is, as a Rockets fan and you're trying to look at the landscape of the West and you want to stay in that number one spot where you are now after 17 games, that's the path. It's unlikely, but it's reasonable. And so, yeah, if you want to look around the NBA cheering against the Warriors, yeah, that's an easy thing to do if you want to go after that one seed, because if you want to battle the Warriors, it's really that simple. Now, following this race, that's one reason that you might look at other games around the NBA. Another reason, of course, well, you might just be playing fantasy basketball. And that's why, fantasy sports fans, listen up. Because, folks, if you use our sponsors at the Draft app, your chances of winning are 80% better than on salary cap sites. That's why Draft is my favorite fantasy site. There's no more getting crushed by the pros. And it's not just me. More than 1 million people have already downloaded the Draft app as well. You can literally play in a real live NBA draft right now and be done in under 5 minutes and get paid out by the next day. You don't have to worry about injuries because, well, the app sets the lineup for you. It's that simple. You play in a real-life draft under 5 minutes. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one, well, whenever you want. And because of that app, you can do it on the go. It's really that easy. The best part of all of this, all new players get free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. But to do that, you've got to use the promo code LORockets. That's right, play in a real money draft for free just by using that LORockets promo code. Best of all, Draft is so sure that you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Rockets listeners a money back guarantee of up to $100 if you aren't satisfied with the service. Again, just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and you can play right now with promo code LORockets. If you search for Locked On in the main room, you can find Locked On Fantasy. You can find leagues to play with our listeners, our host, including me. It's just a really fun app. And yeah, with the free entry into a draft, with the money-back guarantee, there's nothing to lose. And please go out there and support them because sponsors such as Draft, that's how we're able to bring this show to you as frequently as we do, the only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. Now, the first few minutes of this show, I've been breaking down the race for the one seed. That's the ideal scenario. More than likely, what I think the Rockets are focused on is the race for the two seed. That's what we expected before the year. Try to be the second best team to the Warriors, and then, of course, hope that you're clicking in the playoffs, because while you might not be able to beat the Warriors in an 82-game sample, you might can over seven, because fluky things can happen in a smaller sample size. I think the Warriors are the first priority, especially given how well this season has started. But if not for the Warriors, then you got to hold off the teams that are below you to get to the number two, which puts you in position to have home court the first two rounds and at least get to the Western Conference Finals for your seven-game shot against the Warriors. The good news right now, the Rockets have a two-game lead, and more than that, they have a two-game lead on the Spurs and much more than that on everyone else in the Western Conference. As far as what to watch on that, the Spurs are an interesting team. They're the three seed right now. They were the two seed a year ago. They're 11-6. The point differential is only 3.1. The Spurs are a fascinating team because when they're healthy, you know what they did to the Rockets in the playoffs a year ago. There's just laser-like efficiency. The flip side, Kawhi Leonard is still out. No one knows exactly what's going on because it's not just like he rolled an ankle. The quad injury that he's suffering through is something that he's dealt with for three seasons running now, I believe. So there's some concerns with them, and the point differential plus 3.1 is not as good as their 11-6 record. Now, certainly a team with that level of veteran experience, the likes of Greg Popovich, but certainly mature players like Tony Parker when he gets back, Manu Ginobili, Kawhi, Pau Gasol, LaMarcus Aldridge, there's a lot of veterans. So this might be a team that can outperform their metrics based on just that veteran presence, that leadership in close games. That's why I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt relative to the differential, and I'm going to say that they're a team that really you should be concerned more than anyone about in that race for the two seed, because even if the metrics aren't there, to me, that's the one squad that can grind their way. You know, they may not do anything that exciting, but all of a sudden, you know, they can find their way to 55, even pushing 60 wins under the radar. And then if Kawhi manages to get healthy, then boy, all of a sudden, they can be there in the end. I'm not so much afraid of the Spurs as a playoff team. I'll get to that in just a few moments when I break down, I think, the types of teams that the Rockets might want to play in a playoff series this year. But as far as the race for the number two seed and who might challenge the Rockets in that 55 to 60 win tier, I still put the Spurs at the front of the list. I think their upside is somewhat limited in terms of title contention. That's why I wouldn't mind necessarily playing them in the playoffs, despite what happened last year. But in terms of who can actually get to, in striking distance of the Rockets in the standings, they're the team that jumps out at me. The second team, and this is a little surprising, I'm actually going to say the Portland Trailblazers for a couple of reasons. First off, the differential now, plus 5.6. That's, other than the Rockets and Warriors, I believe that's the best in the entire Western Conference. So certainly they're playing well. It's an arena that's very hard to win at. The Blazers have been a bit on a seesaw ride. You know, they overachieved a couple of years ago, underachieved last year. But certainly they're playing well now. I don't think that on paper they have the talent to compete with the Rockets over 82 games. But you never know if the Rockets have an ill-timed injury, maybe they get in the mix. The other thing to watch with the Blazers, I could see them being active on the trade market. What's interesting, in these days of Golden State, there are only so many teams that are actually willing to go out and be buyers, because everyone else is prioritizing flexibility down the road, thinking of a window that's 3 to 5 years. There are a couple of teams that are kind of going the other way. Portland in the West, I'd say Toronto in the East is an example of this. And what I mean by that is they are locked into their current core. And even if they don't have championship upside, at the same time, because they have so many large salaries, they're not living in fear of giving up flexibility. They're not willing to say, well, we can't make this happen because what if it cost us free agency in 2018 or 2019? No, the Blazers have so many salaries, they're willing to take on incremental upgrades, and all of a sudden, in January and February, they could be even a better team than they are now by addressing some of those weaknesses. I think in the offseason, I believe the scenario laid out by Jesus Rodriguez at Chase Sports, who we've had on this show, Locked on Rockets, before, everyone's favorite Twitter follow, he laid out the scenario that in the early Carmelo talks, Portland was willing to take Ryan Anderson, and he would have been an upgrade for them until Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum made the case to management for why don't we give us the chance to go after Carmelo ourselves. But Ryan Anderson, whose contract was undesirable in most of the league, I don't think it was to Portland, because they're willing to say, hey, we know we may not have championship upside, but you know what? We're locked into this core, so we don't care about giving up flexibility. We're willing to take on contracts that might not be desirable if they make us a better basketball team. I think the same thing applies to Toronto. And so while these franchises, you know, how do they get to an actual championship level? I don't know how that happens. But over the course of 82 games, those are the profiles that sort of, those are the profiles that to me jump out for a team that may overachieve and somehow get into the 50s win total unexpectedly. Because they're not living in fear. They're just saying, you know what, we've got to maximize what we have, and there's also a chance that January or February they could go out and further improve themselves. I know there's a three-way tie for four right now between the Blazers, the Timberwolves, and the Nuggets. To me, the Blazers are by far the most threatening of those for number two. Timberwolves have a negative point differential. I know there's a lot of talent, but I think there's still some maturing to do there. And Denver, of course, I think it's a combination. Lack of perimeter creators, but more importantly, I think the issue with Denver now, the injury to Paul Millsap, it looks like it's going to persist for some time. He's not playing tonight. I don't see those teams, Minnesota or Denver, getting into the 50s, let alone the mid to high 50s that it would take at a minimum to get in range of the number two spot. The Spurs, again, just because they're the Spurs, that's the most likely team. That's who you want to root against if you're a Rockets fan, want that number two. Secondary concern would be Portland. Now, the ultimate wild card in all of this, I haven't mentioned the Oklahoma City Thunder because they're far down in the standings. Right now, the Thunder would not even be in the playoffs. They're the 9 seed in the Western Conference, tied for it with Memphis. Now, nonetheless, the Thunder do have a plus 4.6 point differential. I'm not writing them off because the Thunder, just as they were lucky a year ago in close games, they've been relatively unlucky this year. I believe every game less than 8 points they've lost. So while they were due for some correction from what they had last year outperforming in close games, they're not going to be this bad either. Eventually, they're going to figure it out. There's going to be an equilibrium. They're not going to miss the playoffs. They're going to be a good team. However, a 5.5-game deficit at any point in the NBA season, even with 65 games left, that's a lot. So while I do think they're going to make the playoffs, I do think they're going to have a winning record, I think you have to look at the differential, not the 7-9 record they have at this point, I think unless the Rockets suffer a major injury, it's tough to see them outperforming the Rockets by 6 games over the next 65. I think the Rockets are a better team, period. And I also think they're more disciplined. I think some of the problems with the Thunder, there's just not the overall sense of cohesion from those star players that over the course of an 82-game grind. Now, they might be a team, I'll talk about that in the final segment in just a few minutes, that might overperform in the playoffs. But in the regular season, I just think the Rockets are a more talented, deeper team. I don't see the Thunder outwinning the Rockets by 6 games over the next 65 games. And I also don't think that they're as well set up in terms of discipline to get through the 82-game grind as the Rockets are. So again, I'm not going to bury the Thunder. I still think, you know, if you can continue to add to that lead, then yeah, the more games, the better, because certainly there's a lot of talent on that team. But right now, I don't see the Thunder as a particularly big threat to the Rockets in the chase for the number two spot. Of course, that could change. We'll continue to monitor the standings. It's early, But right now, they're not really on my radar. And I know it's happened quickly, but folks in the NBA, it can happen quickly. And a 5.5 game deficit, which is what they trailed the Rockets by at this point in the season, folks, that's pretty hard to overcome when you have a team as good as the Rockets. So no, I'm not ignoring the Thunder. I just think it's a long shot for them to really get back in that number two race right now. I think far and away, the leading threat is the Spurs, just based on the scenario of if they get Kawhi back healthy, assuming Parker gets back to himself, the veteran maturity. I think that, to me, is by clear your biggest threat in the number two spot. You want to see losses there, maybe to a lesser extent Portland. But I think it's really the Spurs that are your biggest threat, and then maybe Portland, and then the wild card scenario of what if Oklahoma City catches fire, but I don't think that's necessarily likely to happen in the regular season. The playoffs, however, that's a different animal, and that's where I'm going to close out this kind of evaluation of the Western Conference, is looking at the playoff versions of these teams and who you want to play. I'm not so much going to look at the first round, because whether the Rockets are the one seed, the two seed, the three like they were last year, if you're playing 6, 7, or 8, you should win that series, and it's not a guarantee, but if you lose that series, it's not about the matchup. It's about something you did fundamentally wrong, or maybe there was just an awful injury. I don't know, but while there are certainly little advantages, I don't think exactly who's in that 7 or 8 spot should really make that big of a difference to you as a Rockets fan, because, yeah, you should win that series unless you do something catastrophically wrong or just have some terrible injury luck, and if that's the case, it's not about the team you draw, it's about you. It's the second round and the Western Conference Finals, who you want to draw, that to me, and of course when you look at it, if you're in the 2 seed, that means who's in the 3, if you're in the 1, that means who's in the 4-5, who's on your side of the bracket, who's on the other side of the bracket. So in terms of things to watch for, certainly, and this goes without saying, you want to be on the opposite side of the bracket from Golden State so that you can get to the Western Conference Finals, hopefully without too much trouble. But the good news is if the Rockets and Warriors are both in the top 3 seeds, and that seems extraordinarily likely at this point, then that should take care of itself. That's easy. The interesting thing is who do you want to play in terms of, if you're 1, the 4-5, or 2, if you're a 3. This is unpopular, but for me, I want to see the Spurs more than I do the Thunder, or for that matter, any other team that we just talked about, Portland, Minnesota, potentially in that 3-4-5 mix. And that can mean different things. If the Rockets are the 2 seed, I think that's far and away the likely scenario, then that means hoping the Spurs are the 3. If the Rockets are the 1 seed, that means hoping that the Spurs, and for that matter, I'll throw Portland in there as well. Basically, I'd like to avoid the Thunder is the moral of the story that I'm trying to get at here. That would mean hoping that the Thunder aren't in that 4-5. There are a couple of reasons for that. The Spurs, as I said, I respect them over 82 games. However, the long-term upside, I think, is limited. First off, I don't know if it's reasonable to expect Kawhi to truly become Kawhi for quite a while. Even if he gets back to NBA playing shape, the fact of the matter is, for him to miss this much time over an injury that's recurred over 3 years, that's a red flag. Secondly, the Spurs have so many players that, yes, there's a certain veteran maturity to them that's going to pay off over 82 games, but I feel that the upside is limited in terms of actual playmakers in the playoffs. I know what happened with the Rockets a year ago, but I think a couple of things are different this year. First off, with the additions of Chris Paul, Luke Bamute, PJ Tucker, the Rockets are much more suited to grind against the Spurs. We know the Spurs last year, how they slowed the pace and the chippy nature of those games. I think the Rockets are much more equipped to win in a different way this year. That's a point that Craig Ackerman made. I think that could help against the Spurs. The other thing, I think where the Spurs had a lot of success against the Rockets late in that series, it became very predictable how the Rockets were initiating their offense. And there were ways that they came out high on that pick and roll, and there were not that many ways the Rockets could adjust because there were not that many other playmakers they could turn to initiate the offense in a different way. Whereas this year with James Harden having another top 10 guard alongside him, well, top 10 player, I should say, in Chris Paul, then there's a multitude of ways the Rockets can initiate their sets, get into their offense, and I don't think it's going to be as simple as it was for the Spurs late in that series a year ago to put the clamps down. So to me, the Spurs' relative lack of upside, it's not that they have no upside, they do, especially if Kawhi can somehow get healthy, they can be a very good team, but you certainly don't have the 3 stars that you have in Oklahoma City, or the 4 if you're talking about Golden State. So that's why to me, the Spurs, and certainly the Blazers, if you can get them. The Blazers, I think, are a favorable matchup for the Rockets as well, just because they play at that same pace. I think, by and large, your upsets come when you have someone that wants to play in a different way. When you see teams that tend to play with the same pace, the same style, talent seems to win out, because it's not so much that you're schematically doing something different. It's a matter, it tends to just revert back to, you know, you're playing a certain way, who's got the better team? And to me, the Rockets have a deeper and better team than the Portland Trailblazers. So those, to me, if you're the two, or if you're the, or if you can get to the one, those are the types of teams you want to see in that 4-5. Maybe Minnesota as well, because I feel like that Minnesota team is so young that a team with the IQ, the intellect of James Harden and Chris Paul leading the way, I think that's a scenario for the Rockets to make a lot of headway, especially over a 7-game series. The reason I don't want to see the Thunder, I just got done explaining the downside of them over a regular season scenario. The playoffs, I think it's a little different, because in a small sample size, there is so much explosive talent. They worry me a little bit. There's the explosive star talent. There's the crazy length on defense with Andre Robertson, Steven Adams, the physicality. 82 games, I get their deficiencies. Short series in the playoffs. I know the Rockets beat them last year, but I would rather not. I think there are teams with less upside that I would rather gamble on than be on the same side of the bracket as Oklahoma City. Another factor to consider, with Paul George being a free agent, Carmelo having the opt-out, I think there's also a good chance by the playoffs that it's kind of a wounded dog thing with Oklahoma City, that everyone knows this is their last shot. This is their last time to really try and make it work with that core, or else the team can look radically different and maybe not even be a contender at all next season. So there are a lot of reasons I think the Thunder might overachieve in a playoffs setting. The other reason, because they have that upside, I would love for them to play Golden State in the second round. Even though I highly doubt they could beat the Warriors 4 times out of 7, at the same time, they're the type of team, between their explosion on offense and especially all the bodies, the defensive versatility, they could make the Warriors work. And so whether that's a 2-3, a 1, more likely the Warriors being the 1, the Thunder being in the 4-5 matchup and winning that, however that comes about, I think there's a shot that the Warriors playing Thunder could take a real toll on them, so that by the time the Warriors actually play the Rockets, you have some tired legs and you've kind of chipped away at that inevitability narrative that they're likely to have at some point in the year if they don't already have it already. So that's why, to me, if you're looking at, you know, who you want to cheer for in these other games, right now, and conveniently, the Warriors play the Thunder tonight. So my instinct is to actually root against the Warriors, because until proven otherwise, folks, if you can get that one seed, I think that's what you want, because best chance to win a ring is to get that Game 7 in your gym. It's going to be hard enough to beat the Warriors 4 times out of 7 no matter what. So if you can get that Game 7 in your gym, the first 2 games of that series, folks, that's massive. So if that's on the table, that's priority 1. But beyond that, certainly you root against the other teams in the race for the number 2. And then as far as seeding matchups, to me, the Thunder are the team in the playoffs. I don't really respect them as a regular season team that much, but in the playoffs, they have a degree of upside that the other teams in the Western Conference, talking about non-Rockets Warriors teams, the Thunder have a degree of upside that the others do not. So I would like the Rockets to avoid that, and more importantly, I would like the Warriors to have to go through that before playing the Rockets, because I think there's a chance that maybe that series takes a little bit of the edge off of them and makes them expend some energy that the Rockets, I'm not going to say it would be easy to get past the Spurs, the Blazers, whoever it may be, but I don't think they would be quite the same level of stress. As I said, the Spurs are certainly a good team, respect them, but they don't scare me as a playoff opponent. I know what happened last year, but I think last year was largely, it's not like the Rockets underachieved. The Spurs were a better team by 6 games than the Rockets in the regular season, and they won the playoff series in 6 games. The better team won. So I don't really see, it's not like the Rockets become something they aren't against the Spurs. No, the Spurs are a better team last year over 82 games, and then they were a better team in the playoffs as well. And I think a big part of that, the Spurs' discipline, when you have a team that was as predictable as the Rockets were last year with only one true creator, I think that that's the kind of team that eventually over 7 games, they're able to figure out. Whereas I think the Rockets this year, they're a more diverse approach, and I think there's also, besides diversity and approach, there's also different ways they can win games, because in addition to just being the run and gun, score a lot of points they were last year, now with Chris Paul, Luke Bamute, PJ Tucker, added to the likes of Trevor Ariza, you can win ugly as well. You can get down in the mud and you can play a physical game and win that style of grinded out game as well. So that's sort of how I see it as far as the playoff matchups, in terms of what you should be rooting for, other NBA matchups, if you're a Rockets fan. So that's my breakdown of that. Final points. folks, now we're back to actual Rockets basketball. Rockets-Nuggets tonight, as I said leading off, it's a game, the Nuggets without Paul Millsap. You should be able to win, but it's a quality team. There's a lot of big man depth there, and it's if you come out sluggish, and that shouldn't happen with the Rockets being, they should be rearing to go after 3 days off. Really, I have not played 4 days. Last played Saturday night, and then we'll play tonight. But at the same time, there's the whole rest versus rust thing. You can't have too much rest. You can come out a little sluggish. My thought, though, is that even if that happens, the Rockets should just have too much talent to where even if there's some rust early, as long as that rust is not combined with tired legs, and that should not be the case after that time off, over 48 minutes, the Rockets should be able to eventually figure it out, especially with the Nuggets lacking Paul Millsap. And then, of course, as I said, I don't really take the Nuggets, even though they're 10-7 quality record to this point, positive point differential. I don't really see them as that much of a long-term threat to the Rockets. I think the game to watch outside of the Rockets tonight, of course, is Warriors-Thunder, because that has implications on multiple fronts for the Rockets as they get closer to, well, the playoffs. Still a long way to go, but as I've said leading off, over 20% of the way into the season, folks, that's not insignificant. It's a real sample. So that's why I did think it's appropriate to have that discussion today. Our last non-game day for a while. Well, we'll have non-game days Thursday and Friday, but I think all of us are going to be busy doing Thanksgiving stuff then. So that's why I wanted to sneak this in before that, because, yeah, pretty soon we'll get back to the daily grind of Rockets games, reporting what we learn each individual game, which, of course, is the backbone of what we do here at Locked On Rockets. So as always, thanks to you guys for tuning in. If you're not already following me or the show on Twitter, you can do so at Ben DuBose or at Locked On Rockets. You can also follow our sponsor for today at PlayDraft on Twitter. Remember, if you download that Draft app or go to draft.com and use the promo code LORockets, all new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit using the promo code LORockets. Also remember that, folks, there's a money-back guarantee for Locked On Rockets listeners up to $100 if you are not satisfied with their service. That's how confident they are that you will love the Draft app. It's popular with me. I love doing it. And folks, with that LO Rockets promo code, you've got, and the money-back guarantee, you've got every incentive in the world to give it a try. Again, that's draft.com or the Draft app. For now, folks, I'll get ready for the game tonight. Hope to see some of y'all out at Toyota Center, and we'll be talking again in the next few days after this game. And, well, we'll try and fit it in. I'm not sure we'll have an episode tomorrow. It's Thanksgiving. But sometime in the next couple of days, we'll break down what we learned from the Nuggets game and, of course, get you ready for the Knicks on Saturday night. For now, folks, happy Thanksgiving Eve. Have a good Thanksgiving. Look forward to talking with you guys soon. And, yeah, follow me on Twitter for insight from Rockets Nuggets tonight. Until then, enjoy your Wednesday. Be safe. Happy, safe travels. And look forward to talking with you guys again very soon right here on Locked On Rockets.